This is the audio recording for the Candia Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting for January 25th, 2022.
Okay, being 7 o'clock, I'd like to call the meeting of the Zoning Board of Adjustment of Candia to order, please, if you'd stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. My name is Judith Zott. I'm the Vice Chair of the Board. Our Chairman is visiting us by Zoom tonight, and we decided just for procedure it would be better to have someone present here run the meeting. This is Ron Howe, Boyd Chivers, Tony Steinmetz, who is our alternate and will sit with us, and Mark Ramakaitis. And do you want, Lisa, will you read the first case for us, please?
Case 22-001. Applicant William and Kelly Kenyon, 1029 Mammoth Road, Manchester, New Hampshire, 03104. Owner same, property location 57 Maplewood Drive, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 404, lot 405, lot 45-4. For a special exception under Article 5, Section 5.02A2, Table of Use Regulations. Type of land use, residential, and a variance under Article 15, Section 15.04E, specific special exception uses, accessory dwelling units. Intent, to allow the construction of an accessory dwelling unit with an increased square footage area above the maximum 750 square feet for ADA compliance with wheelchair accessibility.
Mr. and Mrs. Kina?
Yes.
If you'd like to approach the table, you bring your chairs up if you want, or you can explain to us. We do have copies of your submission, but if you'd like to explain to us what you're doing and why you feel we should grant you your...
Be happy to do that. I think our builder is here as well.
Hi, so. I'm Dee DeHarness. This is Mark DeHarness. We're with Spruce Building. We're working with the Kinas on their home.
Okay.
And I just wanted to hand out everything you might need to reference just in case it wasn't
okay.
Given to you earlier.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
And we're going to try to help them with the pieces that we can tonight.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Sorry for checking
that across the
construction.
Perfect.
If I kind of sit this way, does that work for the camera?
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Thank you. Pardon me?
We want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the camera.
We're used to napkins.
Jeez.
I know.
Can we go ahead and start, Dee?
Yes, sorry about
that. All right. Well, good evening. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to review our request here. I'm Bill Keynes, my wife, Kelly. And I think you know Mark and Dee, our builders. I just want to say thank you already to Lisa and to Kevin for being so kind to me when I came in here in December asking what to do to present to you tonight. We're happy to be in this town. We're very excited. My son lives just down the street about a half a mile from here on Jane Drive, and he introduced us to this town. We're just we kind of fell in love with it, so we're really excited to be making this our permanent home. My sister called me a couple months into COVID. This is what I guess 2020. It's been 2 years now, and her husband passed away several years back, and she was just telling me how depressed and isolated she is. She's got multiple sclerosis, so sure, her ability to move has been declining. It's a progressive disease. She's able to walk still with a cane, but it's getting worse, and it's clear she'll be wheelchair bound at some point.
In the last, just to interject, in the last 2 years, she's broken her foot twice. She broke her arm because she keeps falling because she's
right.
So
she's getting
unbalanced.
To where, yeah.
So
I just want to explain that her health is declining, and she was very isolated in COVID. She's depressed now. She said, I haven't seen anybody. I haven't gone out of the house in months. No one's come to see me. My husband's gone. I have no one. And I said, just I felt called to say to her, Hang in there. We're going to move to New Hampshire. We'll find a home and find a place for you in that home, and you'll come live with us, and you'll enrich not only my family, but the next generation of our family.
We have two grandkids that live.
Yeah, and three others in Manchester. So
we're like trying to say, like, come up here.
Hang in there and come in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hang in there, and we'll figure something out to help you, basically.
So, you know, she cried and thanked me and said, that's all I'm looking for, is a reason to be around, something to do, a purpose, right? So that kind of set us on this path. We feel like it's important to have a space for her. It's certainly going to be part of the home, you know, and accessible to the home. But we wanted to make sure also when she's in a wheelchair, there's a way for her to get up there without going upstairs. So we, you know, it's expensive. I never thought I'd be the kind of guy to have a house with an elevator, but we thought this is really the right answer. We could get, you know, right from the garage up to her room. And we wanted to make sure that there was enough room for her to get her wheelchair through the doors and all of that. My mother's 95 down in Connecticut, and she gets aides who come in to help her. And, you know, it's helpful to have enough room for the aide to be there as well as my mother. So thinking about that, we said, let's make sure that my sister Kathy has room in case, you know, aides need to come and prepare food or help her to do laundry or whatever, the things that they do for my mother now. So we felt, you know, let's do that. And I think as Mark and Dee will talk about, we took a plan for the house, for a house, and we said, Mark and Dee, you know, is there a way we could put something in for our sister, right? And so we already had a pretty good size footprint for the garage, and they took that and downsized it a bit. And you guys could speak to that piece better than me. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. I thought you might want to see a picture of my sister and me. You can ignore me on that side. I'll pass that around just to see who it is that we're talking about. Dee and Mark, did you want to add anything to that?
Do you want us to pull up there?
Sure.
Or do you want us to
it's like Thanksgiving dinner.
We just wanted to speak to the plan a little bit because we know it's over the size that the Candia has for a maximum. The reason it's over the size is because with the design, if you look at the page that has the actual ADU of it, which would be page 3, I guess, it's called A4. Mm-hmm.
That's the page you guys have. I just want to put that, the big one that I gave you. That's
didn't realize that you were going to have the big one, so you probably see it a little better.
Okay.
Do you want to put it through?
Okay.
Thank you. So I just want to point out that the bedroom to the left is actually their son's bedroom that will be living with them. It's not part of the ADU. The ADU itself... Oh, I can wait if you're looking for it.
They don't have it on the big picture.
It doesn't show
the big
one.
No, it's just on a smaller one. That's okay.
So the ADU itself is over what is allowed in town. It's 1,152 square feet. However, we downsized it significantly to the square footage of the garage that's underneath. So logically, we would normally make that the size of that garage because it flows correctly. We tried to pull a lot of that out to get a little bit better within the bounds while still meeting what the Keenas are going to need for their sister. So I think if we look at the spirit of the ordinance that exists, it looks like a single-family home. You're welcome to come. We could do a field trip if anybody wants to. Definitely not Thursday or whatever day. It's going to be really cold. But looking at the home sits about 400 feet back from the street. It's probably going to be right now the most expensive home in the neighborhood. So we don't see a detriment to an ADU, period. However, to bring that a little further, we didn't see a way to design this that still gave it the aesthetic of the house plan. If we chopped that up, it wasn't going to work. I'm going to ask Mark to speak a little bit from he's our designer, to the issues that we would have probably run into had we tried to cut that all down to a teeny tiny thing on top of a big giant garage. So
yeah, it would have been very odd looking. Along with it, it'd be almost impossible to enter through the existing house itself. So an ADU requires a match to the existing house. So that was getting very complicated with the roof line going in and stuff like that. So we set the breezeway back and pushed the elevator back. But in order to push all that stuff back, we still needed the 8 feet. So it had to go all the way to the back of the garage of 30-something feet. So that was like our situation with that. But as Dee said, it's just over the garage. It's just garage space. Mm-hmm.
So is the house under construction now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, your original building permit, is that when Kevin identified this problem here?
He did mention to us if that was going to be an ADU space that we would need to come
in. I see.
And
that's why
through.
You're...
Correct.
So the foundation's already in?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right.
I have a question, Dee.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I heard you mention that the ADU was 1,000-something square feet.
Yeah.
Yet the drawing I have in front of me says 1,292. What's that? Where's that discrepancy so I understand it?
Yeah, and I might have Mark answer that, but I'm pretty sure it's since we submitted the original construction drawings, we had to pull back the two knee walls that are in front. So if you look at...
On this particular drawing here,
correct,
these knee
yeah.
walls would be over here somewhere?
They've pulled back now because... Yeah. I can't tell you why.
Originally, it was going to be traditional framing, so it was going to be a 12 pitch.
Yes.
And it ended up being trusses.
Yes.
So by the time the trusses can't go at a 12 pitch, they only went at a 9 pitch up. So it set it back the knee wall quite a bit further.
Right.
In.
So what is the corrected square footage? Please?
It's 1,152.
52. Thank
Actually,
you.
I think we
shrugged
that, Mike.
Because we're dealing with square footage here, we
yes.
like to have an
yeah.
accurate number.
No,
of words.
I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
We didn't even think yeah. of that because we made the change in the field when we had to.
Yeah.
So
this thing fits right over the garage.
Correct.
And it's ADA compliant.
Correct.
I have a second question regarding mm-hmm. square footage. There were some sketches and drawings included in our packet that showed, you know, ADU, ADA compliant bathrooms and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
For a living unit, complete living unit, bedroom and kitchen and whatnot, is there a ADA recommended minimum size total square foot for a unit? That, you know, obviously we have the layouts for the kitchen and the bathroom, which show you know turning radiuses
yeah.
for wheelchairs and whatnot. But is I'm not aware of the number. That's why I'm asking what the number is, if anyone knows what that number
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I do not know that.
I think that's a great question because we often wonder how 750 feet would actually allow for that.
Yeah. Can I ask Kevin a question as long as he's here? Kevin, are you aware of a standard for ADA-compliant living space as to what they look for a minimum total square footage for an ADA-compliant unit?
Right. There is no specific standard for the total amount.
Correct. Okay.
There are minimum standards for each particular room based on the requirements for the room for a wheelchair to have a 5 foot diameter to access
right.
Kitchen cabinets, to access bathroom, to access, you know, so you're talking, you know, the wheelchair is going to come out of the elevator, it needs room to be able
uh-huh.
to turn. And so, with that and the dimensions that we provided, that gives justifies that we need that extra square footage to be able to maneuver and
sure.
have and not be cramped and have the person, you know, bumping into things to get around. It's not, it's just not feasible. So there isn't a total amount, but there's at least a minimum
for certain areas of every unit,
and it all adds up to one big square footage that's, you know.
Mike and
I'm
sorry.
Just a quick note. We do want to confirm. It's very important that we do confirm the actual square footage for our meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we have on paper we figured about 1,292.
Yep.
And you said there's a change, so we
yep.
we'd have to
after the trusses.
We have
the
to
design.
Go out and measure and just confirm that because it's very important to have the exact measurement for them to have a decision.
Absolutely.
So that's.
Yep.
Well, the one that me and you did is from what you guys sent us.
Yeah.
So
originally
we,
or with this packet?
With this packet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we came
we
out
sent
with.
The original.
Yeah. So this is the original we have, and we did it with that as well.
Yeah.
So he had the original out. We did it with this, and it's still, this is how it came out too. 1192.
I don't know if it would be making.
Oh, are you counting the closet?
We count everything that's heated space. We have to.
Yeah, I don't believe an ADU counts closet space.
Anything that's heated space is.
Okay,
is
so
part
closet
of the
space
ADU.
Then. So then,
yes.
So then that 12.
So we have a couple of them.
It won't. It shouldn't make a difference, guys. Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
The little bit of square footage, it's not going to. It's not going to get you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Then the original number.
You guys will be fine.
Yes.
Yes. I would go with the document 1292.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Sorry.
About
that.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
It's not going to.
Because there's a little pantry and there's a bedroom off the closet off the bedroom.
It's not going to kill a deal. It's really not. It should be.
But we can. Do you want to measure, Kevin, for your... So
no, you have the measurement.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
correct.
1292 is
yeah.
perfect.
Yeah,
you know, that's what
typically,
we
are hold strict to the 750 square feet. I'm personally not a firm believer that that has to be the case, but we've turned people down under with normal buildings with 25 square feet more than that 750. This is 50% more than the allowed space. I guess my question would be, kind of goes back to what Mark said. What's the minimum space that you need for a person with ADA requirements to live in? Not how it fits on the building, but you know, what's that minimum space? Can you create some dead space someplace to make the building look right if it's not being used and heated? What happens in the event that you move, your sister has to go into, you know, rehab someplace or something like that? Now we have a 1,250 square foot apartment, not a 750 square foot building, which is what we're charged to live with. I think that this is a real leap.
Well, I think...
Can I? I'd like to...
Go ahead,
do you mind if I speak
no,
to this?
No, you go right ahead.
Okay. So I think members of this board are well aware that I'm not a fan of the 750-foot limit. I've made no secret of that in the past. I want to point out to the board that within the last year... we have approved an ADU unit in this town that was built in an existing, it was built over an existing structure, I believe it was a barn type structure, and right. the size of it was kind of fixed in place. And we have stretched this rules on occasion. I do want to say that the town, looking at New Hampshire law, okay, this town, excuse me, let me not speak for the town. That's not my goal here, okay? I find the square footage limitation to be too restrictive. We turned down, at our last zoning board meeting, we turned down, it was more of a lot adjustment issue, and they were trying to put another building on a lot, and the reason the owners of that lot rejected an ADU unit was basically they said, my parents aren't going to be comfortable in 750 square feet, which is, and I asked people in this room to consider if you, as an adult, would push yourself into a 750 square foot space and say, that's where you're going to live. We also have, the state wants towns to embrace and develop workforce housing, and ADU units satisfy the state requirements for ADU units for workforce housing if 50% or more of them have two bedrooms. Now again, this is not a two-bedroom unit, but I find the restriction to be too restrictive, and I think that and I'm going to make a statement, it's more an opinion, I'm not speaking for the planning board, but the state changed the rules on ADU units in 2017, I believe, and there was a quick rush to try to get some regulation in place, because Because if there wasn't a regulation, there would have been no regulation, okay? And I recognize the planning board tried to get something in front of the public, and if I recall, it was a very quick situation. And the minimum requirement in the state of New Hampshire is 750 square feet. There is no maximum. And the town was put forth by the planning board that the minimum would become the maximum. And I think it was done quickly and without a lot of forethought as to what ADUs can be. And it's not just for in-law apartments, to use the old-fashioned term. It is designed to become rental property if it has to. And I think many towns are afraid of decreased property values. And in this age of a lack of housing, workforce housing, and a lack of property for sale and for rent in the town of Candia, these types of conversions are going to meet a lot of needs across the board. So I see this as not being anything that is against the spirit of the law, especially when you look at New Hampshire law, and I don't see it as being anything that's going to decrease property values at all. And those are my general comments about the whole situation. Thank you for listening to that.
Thank you.
The only response I'd make to that is that the place to make that change is not here, but at the planning board, and that if this board feels that these are too restrictive, then we need to go to the planning board and say you need to change that. That being said, I think this is a whole different ball of wax. That this is, we're talking about special needs for an ADU that are ADA compliant, and that's a whole different, I mean, I see it as a whole different thing. That when you think about the turning radiuses that they need to get around furniture, when you think about the construction of the kitchen, and it has to be, it's different than our kitchens, because you've got to be able to move that wheelchair around in the cabinets, you've got to be able to get it underneath spaces. The same thing with the bathroom, the same thing with the bedroom, where you've got to have, where you can have a smaller bedroom, you can walk around, you and I can walk around the bed, but you can't get a wheelchair around the bed if you don't have the space. So when I look at this, I mean, I know that I'm one of the, you know, proponents for this is what it says, we're going to do it. But I think this is a whole different thing, and I think that we're bound a lot of by what the ADA says. So the one issue, I think we go to the planning board and we say you need to change this and have the town vote on it, but this I think is completely different.
I recognize that. I did want to put it on record that
I think
it's too restrictive, and in this day and age of lack of housing, it's something that really should be strongly looked at. And I do accept your point of view.
I have to agree with you. I just got done. Sounds like I'm talking against it.
Our role is to pick at it and investigate it.
I mean, I never could see how two people could live in 750.
I ask again, would anybody in this space want to downsize their life for that?
Well, I'll tell you, my daughter's condo is 600 square feet. She's, you know,
my apartment's 526.
I understand.
Yeah. So,
if you had a choice, you'd go bigger.
Yeah.
Well, probably.
Perhaps.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes, but that's you know, not the issue tonight. The issue tonight is really we're not talking about a normal situation. We're talking about something that we need to meet ADA compliant. Standards. Yes.
When we adopted the ADU ordinance, I don't think anybody took the ADA specifications into consideration.
No, but that's the purpose of this board.
And that's why I think tonight, I agree with you, this is a special case tonight. This is the first time we've had somebody come in here and design one of these things specifically to accommodate the ADA requirements.
And that's the purpose of our board, to look at it and say, look, there are times when there are special reasons why you have to make adjustments to whatever laws the town has passed and say, that doesn't make sense here. You really can't do that here. And I think you've got the federal standards for ADA that it's going to make this bigger anyway. because of federal standards.
You know, but the place to argue the merits of the law as it's written is the planning board, not here. Yeah, we're stuck with the law that is written. Does your sister drive?
She currently does.
A special needs van?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
She,
I expect 3 years.
Will the garage accommodate the van with the wheelchair and
yes.
the elevator?
So we did think about that. So the height of the garage is higher than normal. How many feet is that door, Marcus?
It's nine foot door.
Nine foot door.
It will take
probably 12 feet.
A higher van if needed. I do expect that she will be in that kind of van at some point.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting where I don't feel good about her driving, honestly. It scares me a little bit. So I think her days of driving are numbered.
If she drives 2 hours from, like, Connecticut.
That's it.
She has to stop halfway and rest for, like, 45 minutes to be able to. I mean, she's.
And then she's done for the day.
Yeah, she. we're very concerned.
Those vans, though. I mean, I think there's a company in Londonderry that makes them, or Manchester, that just. You wouldn't believe this stuff they do.
Yeah, no, it's.
No, that's
they
wonderful.
Got lifts and the whole thing. And. The idea is that that will be her side of the garage.
Mm-hmm.
She can come in, step out into the chair, onto the elevator, and then she's home.
So she doesn't have to have the wheelchair in the van.
If she can have it.
Right.
We will have a wheelchair.
Have a ramp to back it out. And
no, right. We'll have a wheelchair there at the garage.
Oh, okay.
Next to her car.
Uh-huh.
And then she can get into the wheelchair and get up there. Right. Or. If she's not driving, obviously, you know, you get one of those swivel chairs, she comes out, gets in the chair. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Sure. I did the tour the other day. I could hit your house with a rock from mine.
Oh.
Lot 4, right?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Are you in back of us, or?
No, right down on High Street.
Okay.
That is a, what do you call that design?
Like a custom.
Big.
That's what we call it.
Custom is good. Okay. Something else.
We worked a lot to try to accommodate what they needed to do with it. So.
Yeah.
The garage is off on a.
Right.
Garages are off on a.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I will say, just to add to your comments earlier.
Yep.
I've promised my wife she will never have to move again.
Yeah.
And we call it our toe tag house.
Yes.
Toe tag.
There's only one way we're leaving. We're your neighbors. So we have no. This is our home. And we hope that it becomes a family home.
Where's your home now?
Well, we're in Manchester in an apartment.
Okay.
We moved up from Florida. Everybody told us we're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
But
the pull of the grandkids.
I'm from Connecticut. She's from Illinois. We want to live up here. And honestly, I will not live in Connecticut. I like the way things are done up here. I brought my kids up here when they were young. We went to vacation here. I told them what a great state it is. My father brought me up here when I was young. And then I sent my older children to Holy Family Academy in Manchester for school, right? And so that's it. They want to live here.
Okay.
So good now we're coming back with them. So.
But in saying that we'd like to keep it a family home, which we intend to, someday we're hoping that maybe we will move in the apartment.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're thinking.
Who knows?
Is that
is your right.
That could help us.
Like later on down the road,
then we can live on one level.
And it's already ADA compliant for us.
Right.
And then
one of the kids.
You
know, when you take care of your mom like I have, like we have, you know, it's there for us.
You've got to think that far out in the future. So.
We go over
it's just the main house over here.
If we're ready, we'll just have to visit.
I mean, it looks like a very narrow.
Yes. Yeah. So
that's the door. Then there's like a landing area here. Then my son's bedroom over here. Then downstairs into the house.
Okay.
This is the garage
step
area.
Down
no.
Is that the same height?
Same height. Right straight through.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Stretch out that.
We could show you pictures if it's helpful.
Realize your son's never going to leave home.
And even if he does, everything he owns is still going to stay there.
I know that drill.
It doesn't leave.
We have 30-year-olds.
Oh, they don't have room.
It becomes storage unit.
They don't have, you're right.
Yeah.
They don't have room.
Yeah.
Either way, we got to do them both.
Okay. So anybody else on the board have any other questions?
I do.
Oh, okay, Bob, go ahead. Sorry, we're not forgetting you over there.
Thank you. I'm assuming the builder, designer, slash homeowner is going to address, if appropriate, any other ramps, ADA compliant door handles, light switches at certain heights and so on. We're assuming all that's going to be taken care of. So barring anything else, I think this is pretty straightforward for tonight's application. They're simply looking for a variance on a waiver of terms from Article 15, Section 1504. I think it's appropriate at this time, barring any other questions, that it's appropriate to go ahead and address the required criteria, unless anybody's got any objection. Yeah.
All right.
Yep, that's what Boyd and I were just discussing. It's time we, unless anybody had anything else to say, we were going to move on.
That's all I've got. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to say anything? Kevin, you have anything else to say? Or
Officially, the building inspector, I support the added square footage, basically, because of the need and the reason. And I highly recommend that the board approve the special exception based on that. And that we'll work with the builder and them to, so that they meet all the requirements and have everything in place that makes it usable. And I'd like to also mention there was just that there was discussion about maybe in the future, if even as these folks move on and new folks move in, they'll provide a place for someone with the same disabilities to have a wonderful home.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know somebody will definitely take advantage. So this is just for many, many years.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. That's a good point. So you want to do the standards now?
Yeah, so if there are no other comments, I'll close the meeting, close the hearing, and we'll go to our meeting and we'll discuss. Mr. Steinmetz, because Mr. Petrin is here, Mr. Steinmetz will not be participating in the discussion and the voting because he's an alternate. And we have the our five permanent board members are here. So, Boyd, do you want to read the special exception?
Section 1502, special exception standards. There's five of them. No hazard to the public or adjacent property on account of potential fire, explosion, or release of toxic materials. I agree, there is not.
We agree.
Agree.
I'm sorry, Lisa?
Feature 9.
All right.
So part of the special exception is that square footage, so you guys are going to want to flip that.
Say that again.
You're going to want to do the variance first.
All right.
Oh well, we were thinking that you can't have the. We discussed that. We were thinking if you're not allowed to do it, the square footage doesn't matter.
If they don't get a variance for the square footage, they're not getting the special exception.
All right, let's do the variance.
We'll do the variance first.
All right. This is 1402C. There's five criteria again. The first one, the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. I agree, will not. Jivers, aye.
How aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Bob.
Petrin, aye.
Zod, aye.
Number two, the spirit of the ordinance is observed. I believe it is. Jivers, aye.
How aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Bob.
Petrin, aye.
Zod, aye.
Number three, substantial justice is done clearly in this case. Jivers, aye.
How aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Bob.
Petrin, aye.
Zod, aye.
Number four, the values of the surrounding properties are not diminished. I agree. Jivers, aye.
How aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Bob.
Petrin, aye.
Zod, aye.
And lastly, finally, the literal enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance would result in unnecessary hardship. Jivers, aye.
Clearly. How aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Petrin, aye.
Zod, aye.
So, would you accept a motion to approve the variance?
Absolutely.
I move we approve the variance allowing an ADU not to exceed 1,292 square feet. Is that the number?
No, it was 11.
Well, I think they're working with 1,292 at this point as a max.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. But not to exceed
closets,
that number.
It sounds like.
Yes. You got okay. That, Kevin?
Yeah. 1,292 is exactly what we...
That's my motion.
With the closets, yeah.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Jivers, aye.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Petrin, aye.
Zod, aye.
So now let's see if you can meet the standards for that.
Okay.
All right. That's 1502, right, Julie?
Yes.
1502.1.
Yeah.
No hazard to the public or adjacent property on account of potential fire explosion, release of toxic material. Jivers, aye.
How aye.
Ramakita's I.
15.04E.
It's what I was going to say, it's E. It's 15.04E.
Well, I can't read the E because it's stuck in the middle.
Well, here, I'll give you mine.
That's why I don't give those to you, because you don't
Thank
like
you,
those.
Dear. All right. Where are we here?
Right there. Special, there's where you
can... I'm sorry, okay. Number two, that's 15, yeah. There shall be no more than two bedrooms in the accessory dwelling unit. Am I right?
There's
right
only one.
Yeah. Sure. Agreed.
How I.
Chivers I.
Ramakita's I.
Petron I.
Zot I.
Adequate water and sewer shall be provided. One septic system shall serve the entire property.
I think normally we just vote on the whole thing at the end, I think, on these.
All right, okay. Yeah. You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right.
They provided a septic plan, and this is the new build, so they're going to include that in the new build.
Good. Maximum 750 square feet for the accessory dwelling unit, but we've already granted a waiver of that. On-site parking for one additional vehicle is provided. It's a three-car garage, right?
It's four-car.
Yeah. All existing setback requirements are met. The building sits on the lot. The accessory unit shall be within or attached to the main dwelling unit. We've done that. Architectural enhancements will be employed for the purpose of maintaining the aesthetic continuity with the principal dwelling unit, resulting in both units appearing as a single family dwelling. You clearly got that one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And either the primary or the accessory dwelling unit shall be occupied by the owner of the property. Mm-hmm. And the current state building fire codes for two-family dwellings shall apply.
So, could I have a motion that we approve the special exception?
Sure. I move we approve the special exception allowing an accessory use dwelling on lot, who's that, 405? No, what's that lot number?
Lot 4.
Lot 4.
Lot 4.
Lot 4.
45-4.
405-4. 45-4.
I second that.
Bob.
Okay. Ron?
How I.
Chivers I.
Ramakita's I.
Bob?
Petron I.
Zot I. Thank you. Okay, so you have your variance and you have your special exception.
That's great.
And now you can keep doing good.
Thank you so much.
That's going to mean so much to her. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You know, how old is your sister?
She's
67.
Yeah.
She's older than you
guys? She's older than me. She's the oldest.
Thank you very much. We feel called to do this work. Thank you so much.
Called
is
a good word.
Yes, sir.
It's a good word. You know that?
Yes.
And God bless you for doing it.
Thanks.
She'll be so thrilled. Thank you so much.
We have an accessory dwelling.
Yes.
We'll be building our
house. Yeah, private pilot.
Oh, is that right?
I have my mother-in-law here.
I don't even fly anymore.
You
don't?
I moved
in with my husband
and his mother and his grandmother.
Yeah, I got that. Well,
I think there'll be a continuous need throughout the generations for it.
She gets scared when I fly.
Thank you so much.
Scared.
Welcome to town.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here. Our son's over at the company. I already love it. I'm part of the women's group here. I already join the women's group. And
our son's in scouts already.
Yeah. So we already love it. It's just the cutest town.
Candy is the kind of town that if you want to talk to someone and you want to be friends, they're fine. And if they, you know, they'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
No one will be in your face, but they're willing to help you to do anything.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
We're really pleased to welcome you.
Thank you.
Welcome to town.
Good work. Thank you. Thank you again.
Oh, you're very welcome. We're very, very happy to have you.
Great. It's great.
I think it's wonderful. It's wonderful what you're doing. Really,
well, thanks. It's a. I just, I felt like this would go well because I felt like it was what we're supposed to do, if that makes any sense.
Well, it's what's needed, and I think we need a little bit more love.
I didn't tell you, I told my mother that there'd be a place for my sister and I would take care of her, and she just started crying. She's been so worried about her since her husband died, you know.
Okay.
So my mother.
The thing about MS is it comes and it goes. I mean, it's bad and then it can be good and then it's
yes.
bad.
Yes. Yeah.
Be good
and it goes like this. You fall and then you stay. Then you go like that. You know, stair steps. You know, it's not like this. It's like you're at a certain level and then you're not. You know, then you're there. You know.
But you'll always know she'll be safe and she'll
take care of her. Yeah, that's our commitment.
So cool.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Well, we're very happy to see you. We're glad that you're
Thank you.
Going to be members of our community.
Well, it's great to be here. I look forward to getting to know you guys.
Right. Well, thank you.
If there's something I can do to help,
I'd be happy. You know what? We're always looking for members for our board, so. We'll get you working here. We need help.
Yeah.
Madam Chairman, I'm going to have
Isn't
to refuse
she wonderful?
I
have to say that one of the reasons that this went well, I went in the office to check on this with Lisa, because I was thinking there have to be ADA requirements for this.
Yep.
She's already printing out all these documents.
Yep.
She knew, she was getting everything ready. She knew what to do. I just think we're very fortunate to have her in our office and have her working for us.
What I gave you guys, but the pamphlet, the packet that is necessary for the state is almost 500 pages. I couldn't even email it to you.
Yeah. Oh, no.
If you want to see it, it's on my computer.
You have to know the basics. You have to know that we need more square footage.
Well, you know, when I went in and she showed me all the pictures of the kit, you know, and I'm thinking, there's got to be some way you can knock this down. And then when you look and you see how you have to have all the turn, you don't even think about the turning radiuses in the kitchen. And you don't think about turning radiuses around pieces of furniture. You know, you put a sofa or a table, you're going to be able to get, she's going to be able to get that wheelchair around. I mean, you and I can get through in 2 feet of space or 3 feet of space. She's got to have 5 feet to.
A minimum everywhere.
To get around it.
Good. Everybody should feel good
about
it.
You guys
agree? Decision.
Yeah,
it's
nice
a good
people.
Feeling thing.
Nice people.
I'm going to recuse
All right,
myself
Boyd.
For the next
Boyd.
Case.
Goodbye.
Boyd.
Yes.
Before you recuse yourself, could you share with me where Abbott Road is? Is that the road that runs from Depot Road
question.
Back to the pond, the cottage?
Is that
a private road?
That's a private road. But the Abbott Road is a closed road, discontinued road.
Oh, okay.
But that's how it's identified on the tax maps. So I had no other way to.
I couldn't find it on any map, not even Google.
No, I've never heard of it.
It's closed.
You won't, because it's like it doesn't
Thank
exist.
You.
It's abandoned.
When they discontinue them.
Okay.
Well, welcome to the other side, Boyd.
Okay. So moving right along, for the record, Mr. Chivers has left the board as he is the next applicant, and Tony Steinmetz is sitting in for Mr. Chivers as a full member of the board. So, Mr. Chivers, if you would like to, Lisa, do you want to read his case and then Mr. Chivers can present his case to us?
Case number 22-002, applicant Boyd and Lynn Chivers, 165 Depot Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034. Owner, Boyd Chivers Trustee et al. And Chivers Reputable Trust, 165 Depot Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location, Abbott Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 409, Lot 151. For a special exception under Article 5, Section 5.02E-2, Table of Use Regulations, type of land use, public and institutional. Intent, to allow the establishment of a cemetery on their residential property for private burials.
Before you start, Boyd, I just have one question. Ingrid Bird does not own that property.
Well, I know, but the proper notice was sent. My son owned it.
Yeah.
But when I filled out that application, she was the owner of record.
What they get is what is in our assessing system.
Okay.
And that is still in our assessing system.
Right.
Oh, they haven't changed it yet?
It hasn't been updated.
Because it's been a while since.
Oh, yeah, it's right.
Yeah. They don't do it until the deed comes in, when it takes care of that.
Okay.
That can take months
right.
to happen. So that would be the change.
Okay. Okay, so Boyd, if you would like to.
Thank
Whenever
you.
You're ready, go right
First,
ahead.
First, I'd like to acknowledge I have no immediate plans of using this, but this whole project here got started when this board considered a private burial plot for Mr. What was his name there?
Shankle.
About, I guess a couple of months ago. And Lynn and I, this is my wife back here, well, that sort of got this thinking, and we have no intention of using it anytime soon, but we've talked this over with our family. We've identified a spot out there that conforms to the state statute. It's permitted under Candia zoning by a special exception. I think I can meet all the special exception criteria. And I just ask this board for favorable consideration of a special exception.
Okay. What's the dimension, Boyd?
It's about 900 square feet. The RSA on that requires that to be, 100 feet from water, which it clearly is. And there's a certain distance from another public highway, which it clearly is. It meets all the setback standards. Mm-hmm. And
you have to go to the state, and there's specific things you have to do with the state.
Yeah, once this is approved.
Once it's approved. We just get to either approve or disapprove it, but the state's going
to... You have to make a notation on your deed that there is subsequent deeds to the property. It has to be notated that there's a private burial plot there.
And the other thing is always to make sure that your family has access. Well, in some way that there's a right of way that...
Well, conveniently, my son owns Ingrid Birch property, which abuts this property. Mm-hmm. So he'll always have... That's the other thing why we're doing it now, is that regardless of what happens to our place up on Depot Road, my son will always be living down in Ingrid's house, and he has abutting access to this property.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So.
But the thing is, if he doesn't own, if at some point you, what, if that property gets sold, before it's sold, you have to make sure that you.
We'll do that.
You know that.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
That's just something that you want to consider.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's part of the RSA.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So I think with that in mind, we conform to the RSAs. I think you'll determine whether we conform to the special exception standards, and then I would request your favorable consideration for that.
Okay. And then, Mr. Snow, did you wish to speak at all about this?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Name's Dick Snow, Depot Road. I'm an abutter to the property. I'm speaking as an abutter, private citizen. I'm also a cemetery trustee in the town of Candy and Conservation Commission member. And I mentioned it to the cemetery trustees Tuesday when it was done. Told them that I was going to come here and suggest that if we're going to be doing any more private cemeteries, and in this case I think it's probably the first example of a private cemetery in the town of Candia, that we ensure that in one of the conditions of the special exception, that we geolocate the boundaries of where it's going to be, and make that a condition of the approval. And then for any interments that are to take place, that we again geolocate properly monument and provide the town with the information that goes along with an interment. Now, I don't know if Boyd's got interments scheduled right away, so...
he's hoping not.
Yes. Well, in the history of Candia, there are a number of private cemeteries that have turned out to be public cemeteries. And when they do, all of a sudden what you end up with is a public responsibility. I can't tell you where everybody is buried in any of the public cemeteries. I can't tell you about where some of the people are buried that have been done in actions by the planning board in private cemeteries that became public cemeteries. So, to help those people who are going to come after us, that are going to have to try and figure it out when it becomes a public cemetery, I think that it's appropriate that you have a geolocation, that you have monumentation of it for the cemetery itself, and then you have monumentation and geolocation for the individual interments. You could probably do it with a GPS unit, or you could probably do it with a Trimble now, but in the consideration of the special exception, the location of where that planned private cemetery is comes under the constraints of a number of other statutes, like you can only be so far away from a road, or in Boyd's property and in my property, that's within the Rivers Management Protection Program, which has a quarter of a mile boundary on either side of it, so that if you're going to be doing something in there, you have to go to the Rivers Management Program and tell them about it and let them look at it. So if he hasn't got any interments planned right now, he could do it with a GIS unit or do it with a Trimble and get the four corners if you do it nice and square. Or he could get a surveyor come in, say where are the places, where the monument's going to go, and then he'll tell you where it is. So that in the future there won't be any question as to where this private cemetery is in the town of Candia as things change and more people come in and we all pass away and our descendants have to come and they have to figure it out. So that's my suggestion. Personally, I have no objection to it. I don't know exactly where it is because we're doing it on the tax maps and the tax maps are not geolocated. So I can't look at the maps, you know, I can't look at Google and figure out where it is based on the locations. So it's up to you guys.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Well, the other thing is you guys should be talking to, for considerations of private cemeteries and interments that are going to take place on private land, which appears to be something that's going to happen more frequently, New Hampshire Cemetery Associations, the people you should be talking to.
Well, this is all, Dick, I don't know if you're aware, but this is all governed by state law. There is a state law that governs how all of this takes place. We either approve it or disapprove it, and then Mr. Chivers is going to have to go to the state. And the state he will have to meet all the requirements of the state.
I think you got to talk to New Hampshire Cemetery Association. I've been going to the seminars for years as a public cemetery trustee. I got a pretty good grasp of it. I'm not sure whether the state's going to do anything or not. So I've never tried to put a private cemetery. It's conceivable that his descendants could decide they want to make that private cemetery something that was a business where they do green burials or whatever they're trying to do now. So, and that's in the future, so I think we need to think about it now.
Thank you.
Well, my application is for a private family burial plot, and the special exception, if granted, will specify that, which would preclude any public cemetery out there.
Okay. And your easement will have a coordinate of your plot, just as a new deed does.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The easement that he'll have to do?
Yeah, for the state.
So all your location will be coordinates. Right. And by that time, Candia will have GIS, so it'll be GIS. Yeah.
Did you hear that, Mr. Snow? That the easement that Mr. Chivers has to do in order to build the cemetery will have all the geo-coordinates on it, that the state, that's a state requirement. So he will have that.
I can't speak for the cemetery trustees. I'm speaking as...
The cemetery trustees don't have anything to say about this. This is a state issue. It's either we give them the special exception or not. All the other requirements are up to the state. The state handles all the rest. We've been here before. We've done this. Anybody else have any questions?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think Dick's got a good point, though, that, you know, marking somehow physically on the ground the boundaries of this four granite markers or something like that would probably be a good idea. And certainly actually physically locating it is certainly important and going to be required.
Yeah, I look down the road the same way, 100 years, 75 years, 150 years, and we read occasionally now stories across the country where cemeteries are discovered through some excavation or some other thing. So I don't really think it's a problem having it located. The question is, you know, what the state requires, because I have no knowledge. You know, do they require markers? I don't know. There's going to be an easement with some kind of location. What that entails, I don't know. And, you know, do those records stay available 150 years from now when somebody's trying to determine, you know, where was it? Nobody remembers, and we get the... So location doesn't seem like a bad idea. So again, I don't know what the state requires and what the state has you do. And I'm certainly not trying to run your cost up by having granite markers put in the corners and all those things. But I think it is important to know where it is, and that there's a record of where it is.
Yeah. The easement will be recorded and we'll comply
with those requirements, but the first step, is to conform to community zoning.
Yeah. And then Lisa said that the coordinates are recorded in the state.
Right. The easement that he has to record will be recorded with the Registry of Deeds. So that will be on file forever.
And it lists the coordinates?
Most of them do now. The new warranty deeds and everything, they have the GPS locations on them because that's how the state is doing it. And that's how 911 does it too.
So that will be then, when he registers his easement, it will have the geo coordinates on it? So is that sufficient for what you're thinking, Mark?
Sure, as long as it's a record. And if somebody's going to pull a piece of paper or a digital record 85 years from now, and it shows, here's the pond, here's the road, it may all be gone, it may be changed, but at this spot, this is what we had.
Will the deed have to be amended once this is done?
No, it'll be an easement, which will be part of his deed going forward.
Oh. Well, I guess the issue before this board tonight is whether just I satisfy the...
This five conditions of the special exception.
Right.
Very true.
Yeah. So I'm just going to check this.
I have no further questions or comments. I think this is pretty straightforward, and I recommend we move forward with the criteria.
Okay, thank you. And just let me look. You too. Okay, so special exception standards. The first special exception standard, it says that there is no hazard to the public or adjacent property on account of potential fire, explosion, or release of toxic materials. Run?
How I?
Are we going to vote on each one? Or
I think we'll vote on each one, yeah. Zod, I.
Ramakaitis, I.
Simon, I.
Excuse me, Tony.
Bob.
The second standard is no detriment to property value in the vicinity or change in the neighborhood on account of the location or scale of buildings and or other structures, parking areas, access ways, odor, smoke, gas, dust, or other pollutants, noise, glare, heat, vibration, or unsightly outdoor storage of equipment, vehicles, or other materials.
How I.
Zod, I.
Stymus, I.
Ramakaitis, I.
Bob.
Petron, I.
The third one is no creation of a traffic hazard, traffic safety hazard, or a substantial increase in the level of traffic congestion in the vicinity.
How I.
Zod, I.
Stymus, I.
Ramakaitis, I.
Bob?
Trenton, aye.
Number four is no excessive demand on municipal services, including but not limited to water, sewer, waste disposal, police and fire protection, and schools. Ron?
Howe, aye.
Saad, aye.
Simons, aye.
Romekaitis, aye.
Petron, aye.
Number five, no significant increase of stormwater runoff onto adjacent property or streets.
Howe, aye.
Saad, aye.
Simons, aye.
Romekaitis, aye.
Petron, aye.
Okay, so, Mark, would you like to make a motion?
I will. I make a motion that we grant the special exception under Article 5, Section 502E2 to allow a private cemetery on the property belonging to Map 409, Lot 151.
Okay.
I'll second that.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Okay. All in favor? Ron?
Howe, aye.
Saad, aye.
Simons, aye.
Romekaitis, aye.
Petron, aye.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, too. Ron, you seconded, and seconded, so.
It makes no difference. Go ahead with Bob.
Okay.
Okay. So we're all done with that. We have the next thing on our agenda is our minutes.
Oh, shit.
Okay, any changes, additions, corrections to the minutes?
It was very interesting reading.
That was quite a meeting, huh?
It was the longest minutes I've ever done for you guys.
It went a long way.
Wow.
You should put a muzzle on me.
492. I had 490. It goes, wow. I've never seen that many.
Yeah. Okay, any changes, corrections, additions?
I make a motion we accept the minutes for the December 28th meeting as provided, as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor? Ron?
I abstain.
Okay.
Boyd?
Here.
Saad, aye.
Simons, aye.
Romekaitis, aye.
Petron, abstain.
Okay, we are done. I will. Do we have any other business that we need to attend to?
Is it too late to get anything on the warrant with the planning board?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
There's a couple of things that they need to look at that they haven't looked at.
Next year we ought to tweak this.
We really need to push this. I agree. I thought all along.
750 feet is pretty.
You wouldn't live in it.
Well, 750 square feet for one person. You know, my mother lived in an apartment not much bigger than that, and she was very comfortable.
I mean, an older couple, 750.
But there's no way two people can live comfortably in that kind of space.
And the state regulations don't talk about just one person, just two.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, we should adjourn.
We need to.
Yes.
Yeah, move to adjourn.
Second that.
All in favor?
Yeah,
aye.
Boyd.
Aye.
Aye.
Petron, aye.
Okay.